Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Believe it.
There's going to be a spelling bee?
Close. Bill Meeko, who's the president of the Northeast Ohio Alumni Association of Ohio State, he and I will be singing the strains of Carmen, Ohio.
Wow.
And I do mean strains.
Yeah, strained.
All right, now I said something that is has caused some controversy here, and that is that if Ohio State should happen to lose to Michigan, which is not going to happen, but if it did happen, and then they go on and beat the West representative for the Big Ten, either Minnesota or Wisconsin, I say Ohio State still finishes in the top four. What say you?
I think there's a good shot at that, but I wouldn't count my chickens unless I've, unless I've had an incubator working on them. I'm trying to think of another way to say the cliche. I don't think I would take anything for granted, you know. And the other thing that people are seemingly the flip side of what people are taking for granted is Ohio State's gonna hold sway next week, no matter what happens on Saturday. And you know, beware the hot team coming into a game, whether it be Minnesota or Wisconsin. It's really hard to beat a team two times in one season, you know, as LSU and Alabama found out a long time ago, but and Florida and Florida State found out a long time ago. But the bottom line is, I mean, I think if I was Ohio State, I'd be taking care of business first.
Well, you're not letting anybody else let you take chances that way. You don't want to leave it open that even happened.
Everybody. I'll be honest with you, Les. I mean, I've been on a million of these shows over the years, and the hypotheticals drive me nuts because it's like you don't really know what those 13 people are going to think, you know, at the end of business next Saturday night. So the only thing you know is if you take care of business, they can't leave you out for sure.
Right. Tim, what is different about this week with Ryan Day at the head of the whole thing as opposed to Urban Meyer or even going back to Jim Tressel?
Well, they had a shirts and skins practice. No, I'm just joking. I have no idea because, you know, we're not allowed in.
Right.
Bottom line is I don't think probably much is different. You know, the concentration on the game isn't a one-week experience for Ohio State. It wasn't under Jim Tressel. It wasn't under Urban Meyer. And Ryan Day took up that same motto that, you know, the countdown clock in the weight room and in the hall. And beat the team up north period, you know, that they have during practices, especially during the spring and preseason camp. Those are real things that Ohio State has done to keep the rivalry at least in the middle of these players' minds, even as they go about business throughout the rest of the year. So
yeah, I think it's great, Tim, but it makes you wonder how they are able to sell to the players to take one game at a time when they're devoting that time to Michigan. But I understand why they do it, and I'm off. It's obviously worked.
Less.
Yes.
In the last now eight seasons, starting with the first game under Urban Meyer, Ohio State has lost 9 games total.
So you don't think they're bothered by it?
Doesn't look like it, except for, you know, whether it was on their minds when they played Purdue or on their minds when they played Iowa in the middle of the seasons the last 2 years, that's only for them to know. You know, sometimes a team gets your number and rolls with it. That's why taking for granted what's going to happen Saturday is folly, because I remember, you know, I started covering this team in 1984. 1995, they went up there with the eventual Heisman Trophy winner, Eddie George, and as great a collection of talent as any starting talent as any Ohio State team has ever had, and got rolled by Tim Biakabatuka in Michigan. I think the score was 31-23 or something. It was an 8-point difference, I do believe. So when you take it for granted is when a rivalry will bite you right in the rear end.
Hey, Tim, when you look at Ohio State's team offensively and defensively, and I have trouble thinking what's better. Is the offense better as an offense or the defense better as a defense? Have you seen, since covering it in 84, any team is equally close, if I'm correct on that, offensively and defensively at the top of the heap?
No. Well, closest was probably 96 and 98. Those were two really good offenses and defenses. Those teams threw the hell out of the ball and had really good defenses, guys that went on to some pretty good careers in the National Football League. So I would say those two teams are close. I mean, the 2002 team had a tremendous defense. They didn't play offense like you would have expected them to do. And then in 2006, that team had was 2005 and 2006, those teams had a cavalcade of guys on offense and defense. But, of course, they got beaten. You know, the 2016 got beaten in the national championship game. But, yeah, this is a balanced collection going back to those Woody days back in the mid-70s. They had some pretty damn good teams then, too, you know, that had great players on both sides of the ball. But contemporarily, if that's even a word, when I look around the nation, this is the most balanced team in the country this year. That's for sure.
Talking to Tim May of Letterman's Row, who's covered the Buckeyes since 1984, what about from the Michigan point of view and the losses that Harbaugh's had as head of the Wolverines? Have the fans turned on him, or are they waiting to see what happens tomorrow, or is Ohio State playing a 12th man on their side?
It's hard to judge what the fans have done up there. They've been sort of semi quiet this year, especially after the loss at Wisconsin. And I keep reminding people, you know, they got beat by Penn State, but they threw the ball to the end zone. They're late on a play that should have, you know, set up to tie the game and take that game to overtime. And they clearly were rolling in the second half compared to Penn State. And the kid drops the ball in the end zone. Otherwise, we might be talking a whole different song going into the game this Saturday. But, you know, on the one hand, you heard a couple of years ago that Harbaugh's there, coach as long as he wants to be. But if you lose a fifth straight to your heated rival, and for five straight years now, for sure, you're not playing for a Big Ten championship or a national championship. When you were brought in and paid a hell of a lot of money to make that all happen, to change things, you got to figure there's heat. There's got to be some kind of lowbrow heat going on somewhere.
You would think so. Now, I said earlier today that if you didn't have Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, that somebody would have to make them up, and whether they're cartoon figures or whatever, but they are so perfect for what they were historically to that franchise, to that rivalry, which to me is the greatest rivalry in all sports. Even if Michigan lost 10 in a row, that doesn't change. How do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, you know, the problem with the Bo Woody rivalry is it dissolved into a grudge match of two bulldozers going at each other. And, you know, the thing about what Jim Trussell and Lloyd Carr brought to the game was offense back in the mid-2000s. I think that's what Urban Meyer definitely brought to it. I mean, you know, the game last year was 62 for Ohio State, but it was 39 for Michigan. So
neither one of those guys would have liked that, by the way.
No, I know. There was tussling. I mean, you know, the game of the century in 2006 was, 42-39 or whatever
right.
it was, the
right.
final score was. I mean, that was a day after Bo Schembechler died. So, you know, the game has evolved with college football, which is you got to score points now. You got to score a lot of points to win this game. And that's the way it's been pretty much from the, you know, mid-2000s on.
Tim, you followed Ohio State for so long, but you're a big college football fan and have been for years. Is there anything like it around the country, like this rivalry or like the tension on game day, or does everybody think they've got the best out there?
Well, Alabama-Auburn, I got to see that live when I was a little bitty kid a few times, and Alabama-Auburn is pretty heated. I used to be in the Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was split half, you know, Auburn, half Ohio, half Alabama fans. You know, I got to see Texas-Oklahoma live three times, but that game's in the middle of the season. But the rivalry there is heated for many of the same reasons Ohio State and Michigan was heated, is because Texas is loaded with Texas players and Oklahoma is loaded with Texas players, you know, back in the day.
Right.
So, you know, it was kind of like where the Michigan loaded with Ohio players. I mean, Charles Woodson, you know, Desmond Howard, you know, their Heisman Trophy winners came from, you know, Ohio. So, you know, that's kind of what helped heat it up. And then when you had, you know, a Woody Hayes surrogate, well, not surrogate's not the right word there, a
clone.
Woody Hayes disciple, yeah. And Bo Schembechler going up there and renewing the rivalry in 69. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of that D game, and that was a big upset. But that really enhanced it. But, you know, it's really funny. In the mid-70s, Archie Griffin's group of Ohio State players never lost to Michigan. There was a tie, but they never lost.
Right.
So, but at the end of that, right, but that's what's made it great. I think Ohio State going 2-10-1 made it more desperate for Ohio State to win. And I think Michigan going 2-16 over the last 18 should have made it more desperate for Michigan to win, which I think enhances a rivalry, doesn't diminish it. But we'll see, I guess, tomorrow.
There's a part of me that says to be a rivalry, you have to be pretty close to even in the record. But in Ohio State-Michigan, it's okay if Ohio State runs the table for the next three decades.
Well, yeah, but as Ben Hartsock, I've got a really good podcast that you can download from LettermanRoe.com or YouTube this week with Craig Krenzel and Ben Hartsock, who were members of that 2001 team under Jim Tressel. That I said turned the oil tanker around 180 degrees in this series. And you know, made a good point that Ben Hartsock made a good point that sometimes when a thing is going bad, as soon as something negative happens to you, you think, okay, here you go again, you know.
Right.
But Ohio State figured out a way, as they said, Jim Tressel drew a line in the sand in 2001 and said, you know, this mess is going to stop, and it did.
Yeah, and it didn't just stop for that year. It stopped for the next, well, till today.
Yeah, but you don't know that in 2001.
Right.
All you know is you took care of business then. See, that's the thing about this. You know, like with John Cooper, 2-10-1 is the way you look at it from now. But back when it was happening, there were some damn good games during that time. In the last several years, the spot, you remember the spot game in 2016, which Jim Harbaugh, even though he had the worst seat in the house, claimed Ohio State was short. You know, when JT Barrett kept on that 4th-and-1 at the in overtime, the officials ruled he made it. If the officials had ruled he hadn't made it, replay didn't really clarify anything, then we'd be talking about Michigan having broken, you know,
yeah,
having turned the tide.
Whichever way it was called is the way it was going to stay.
Yeah, these games come down to one or two plays, man, make a big difference. It's not necessarily a washout every year. I mean, last year was a close game until Ohio State suddenly sprinted away.
Hey, Tim,
that was a hell of a game at halftime.
I haven't heard much this year. Maybe you've heard it. We always hear it when good teams get left out. Any talk this year of adding it, maybe going from 4 to 8 or even 16? I haven't heard much of you.
There's always talk of going from 4 to 8. But as I've told you and Andy a million times, there are three or four teams that think they ought to be that number 4 team. There will be 20 teams that think you ought to be that number 8 team if they go to 8. So that's going to make a few sports writers and critics happy for about a couple of years. But it won't solve the problem of college football, which is everybody doesn't play everybody. Everybody doesn't play like schedule. And it does always, even, you know, it's no different now than it was in the poll era. It finally does come down to a vote of 13 people on who should be in and who should be out. It is, in essence, a final poll that determines it. And you know, that's the way it's always going to be with college football.
And number 8 is probably not going to beat number 1, and number 7 is not going to beat number 2.
You never know.
Well, you never know.
But I watched Boise State upset to Oklahoma back in 2006 Fiesta Bowl game. And because I was out there early because Ohio State had gone out early. I mean, you can't ever say that about, just like Saturday, Ohio State's a 9.5-point favorite. But I just think back, like I said, to 1995 when Ohio State should have held sway big time in that version of the game, and it didn't happen. So don't ever take it for granted.
All right, so you've led us up to this magical moment here where Tim May gets to tell us who's going to win and by how much. What do you see tomorrow?
I think Ohio State holds sway. I like saying that because I don't even know what it means.
I don't know what and if you've ever had your sway held, you know how painful that can be.
Exactly. You know, it keeps you from falling down. But I think Ohio State handles its business. I think 9.5 points might be a little bit light, to be honest with you. I mean, I think if Ohio State gets it really going offensively, look out. But, you know, Michigan discovered it can throw the ball about four or five games ago. As I said, it's almost like Jim Harbaugh went up to Josh Gattis at halftime in the locker room, in that crappy visitor locker room at Penn State, said, "Okay, let's do it your way." and it's been a little, it's been a different Michigan team. I still don't put Michigan on par with Ohio State at this point from the way the teams are playing right now, because I think defensively Michigan's not as good as it was last year. But we'll find out tomorrow if it's raining a little bit, or you know, who knows what the weather's going to be like. The weather forecast keeps changing up there. It looks like it's going to hold off until about 4 or 5 till the precip starts coming.
Yeah, on Monday it looked like it was going
to take care of business.
Yeah, Monday it looked like it was going to be the torrential downpour in history, in biblical terms, but apparently it's not going to be too bad. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you know what I said to your producer, right, as he brought me in and told me Andy wasn't going to be there?
And you said?
I said, less is more.
Well, let me tell you something. My first job in radio, I used the name Les Moore, and they gave me a check, and I couldn't cash it, so I didn't use it anymore.
That's pretty funny, Les. Okay.
All right, Tim, great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
That's better than bouncing. See you, man.
Thank you so much. Tim May is the best. Letterman's Row.com is where you can find him.